Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to a special broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Ori Ishai Israel from the House of Israel, located in Cincinnati, Ohio. 2330 Vine Street. I'm sorry, Kemper Lane. Here to bring you nothing but the truth. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the one that has allowed us to know that we are to serve him with all our heart and all our soul and all our might. And raised us up to tell you his truth. Tonight, we come to you at this special time to speak about Yahweh's great holy day. And this is the Day of Atonement. And you'll read in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. In the 26th verse, and Yahweh spoke unto Moshe, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And you shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it is that does any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. It shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. In all your dwellings, it shall be to you a Sabbath of rest. And you shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at evening, which is when we started. This is the 9th day of the month. And this evening began our Sabbath to afflict our souls at evening. Evening to evening shall you afflict your souls or celebrate your Sabbath. So this is why we are coming to you now in the midst of our Sabbath, that we have began to afflict our souls so that we can be prepared for Yahweh's Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is one of the most holiest days of the year. It is the day that Yahweh has allowed you to be forgiven and cleansed of all your iniquities, of all your transgressions, and of all your sins. And so this night, as our Sabbath commences, we are here at the House of Israel of Cincinnati. And some of us will be here all night, even unto the evening of the Sabbath, adorned in sackcloth and fasting, so that Yahweh can see that we have humbled ourselves to him. And why do we afflict our souls? Because Yahweh told us to. And how do you afflict your soul? Well, if you look in the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter. In Daniel, the 9th chapter, it says in the first verse, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Do you know what that is? That's called afflicting your soul. By fasting, your soul is brought down because you're not eating. Wearing sackcloth, which is what you would today call burlap, is a rough material. It's like wool, steel wool, or some rough material on your skin. And this is uncomfortable. It afflicts your soul because your body is uncomfortable. Ashes, which is earth upon your head, because this is also an affliction to your soul. It's uncomfortable. All these things are done for the purpose to humble ourselves so that we are not confused of what state of mind we should be in. You even look in the book of Ezra, 21st verse. It reads, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our Elohim to seek of him a right way. For us, and for our little ones, for all our substance." So Ezra said we have to seek Yahweh, and by doing this, let's fast so we can afflict ourselves, because this is how you afflict your souls according to the Holy Scriptures, not according to anyone else who might think doing extraneous exercises or walking on hot coals or whipping themselves with a spiked bat or belt, whatever method of affliction man might choose, it is not the one that Yahweh said he accepts. You even look in the book of 1 Kings. I believe I want 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, verse 25. It says, "But there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh." So you see, this was a very wicked person. He sold himself to wickedness. You ever hear the term, "Don't sell yourself to the devil"? Well, this man sold himself to the devil, to wickedness, meaning he traded his own self just to do wickedness. It was the question between, should I maintain my integrity or indulge in my most lowest desire for wickedness. And he chose the latter. He sold himself to wickedness. So he was a very evil person in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up, meaning she was like the woman that was already, she was wicked too. But he could have either put her away and said, no, you off the chain, Jezebel. But no, Jezebel just stared into his desire for evil, stirred him up to work wickedness. And he did very abominably in the following idols, meaning this man Ahab was an idolater. He bowed down to graven images, served false deities, prayed to stone in vanity. According to all things, as he did the Amorites, a foreign nation who didn't serve Yahweh, whom Yahweh cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he tore his clothes, meaning he heard the words that Yahweh said to him, that he is going to destroy him, that he is going to die a horrible death, and the dogs will lick up his blood. But Ahab heard these words, and he tore his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of Yahweh came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see you now, Ahab humbles himself before me. And how did Yahweh acknowledge that Ahab humbled himself? Because Ahab put on sackcloth, Ahab fasted, and he walked softly, and he laid in sackcloth. And Yahweh said, look, Elijah, he has humbled himself. So why are we doing this? Because we are humbling ourselves before the Almighty. Because he humbles himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Which means he gave him some mercy because he humbled himself. So this affliction, according to the scriptures, is sackcloth, fasting, earth upon our head, going softly. Let me show you the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter, I believe, give me a minute. Scripture where they removed their ornaments. That's my head. It's in the 33rd chapter of Exodus. Start reading at the first verse. It says, and Yahweh said unto Moshe, depart and go up away, you and the people which you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, saying, unto your seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of you, for you are a stiff-necked people, meaning you are very rebellious, very hard. You do not waver from your rebellion. You're stiff-necked. You don't listen. You don't hear. You don't turn. You don't incline your ear. You're stiff-necked. Lest I consume you in the way. And when the people heard these evil things, they mourned, because Yahweh up until this point was right there in the midst of them. Now he's saying, no, I'm not going to be in the midst of you. I'll send my angel. He'll be there, but I'm not going to be in the midst of you, because y'all are too stiff-necked, and I will consume you. I will destroy you. In order to not destroy you, I'm going to have to get from being close to you like this. So this was not a good report. And when the people heard these evil things, they mourned. And no man did put on him his ornaments, meaning your jewelry, your necklaces, your rings, your earrings, your glasses, your bracelets, your jewels, all the different things that you wear weekly or daily or whatever. That's an ornament. We took them off. For Yahweh had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of you in a moment and consume you. Therefore now put off your ornaments from you, that I may know what to do with you. Meaning he didn't want to see your ornaments on you, because they made you shine. They made you glow. They made you high. And he don't want to see that in you, because you did something just evil. He wants you low. So let me see who's going to be low and take off their ornaments. So even during this time, the Day of Atonement and the Sabbath, that we begin to afflict our souls at the ninth day at evening, we are fasting, we are in sackcloth, we even remove our jewels. Because these are the things that our people did according to the book of Yahweh. And this is how Yahweh saw humility when you went to seek him through afflicting your soul. So we don't need anybody's dictionary, and we don't need anybody's ideas on how to afflict our souls. The testimonies are written in the scriptures, and we afflict ourselves according to the law and the testimony. Because, you see, this is how you show humility. Now, why do you think you should afflict yourself? Because Yahweh knows you're a sinner. Yes, we are all sinners, meaning we are all flawed. We make mistakes. There's not a just man that doeth good and sinneth not. Though Noah, Daniel and Job were noted as perfect, they were just men, which means they sinned. Though Abraham was perfect, he was a just man, means he sinned. David had a heart unto Yahweh and said that he walked perfectly with Yahweh, but he sinned. There's not a just man that doeth good and sinneth not. And so go to the book of Ezekiel. I want you to see how the Most High looks at things and some things to put on your mind this night. So when you go into the Day of Atonement tomorrow, which happens to be on the Sabbath day, which means we have a double Sabbath. Beautiful. But put this on your mind. The Creator, first off, He wants you to not sin. Before I go to the book of Ezekiel, look in the book of Psalms 19. In Psalms 19, as I said, we're here at the sanctuary this night. Some of us will be staying here. And if you're in the area of our congregation, those of you that are of our congregation, you decided you wanted to stay here, some of us will be here. And in Psalms 19, look at verse 12. It says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins." And what is that? A presumptuous sin is the thing that you do on purpose. You did this on purpose. You decided to sin, and you knew it was wrong. That's presumptuous. "Keep thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me." Meaning, you don't want presumptuous sins, things that you've done that is wrong, and you know they were wrong, to have dominion over you. You don't want them to be the thing that is the dominating factor in your life. You don't want to be defined by your evil. You don't want to be defined by these things you've done wrong, because then where will the mercy be? And as he said, "Keep them back from me, don't let them have dominion over me, then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." So you don't want presumptuous sins to be over your head. So in the book of Ezekiel, in the 18th chapter, in the 20th verse, it says, "The soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Meaning you are responsible for your own goodness, and you're responsible for your own wickedness. If you did good, that's you that did good. If you did bad, that's you that did bad. It is not your son's responsibility, nor is it your father's responsibility for your wickedness or your righteousness. Your father will not be benefited from you being righteous, no more than he would be cursed from you doing evil. If you did righteousness, you'll be blessed. If you did wickedness, you'll be cursed. It's your responsibility. But in verse 21 it says, "But if the wicked will turn from his sins," all his sins, "that he has committed, and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Meaning Yahweh is just telling you, when you do wicked, just stop. It's like driving down the street and you ran the first three stop signs and your passenger keeps telling you, you run a stop sign, you can die. Just stop running the stop sign. Stop breaking the rules. Stop running the stop sign. You ran the last three stop signs. You could die. If you don't run the stop sign, you won't. So you stop at the next one. The other person didn't. They ran it. And they get T-boned. And they die. But you didn't. Because you hearkened. Well, Yahweh's just telling you to stop. And do the right thing. Turn from your wickedness that you have committed and keep my statutes. Do that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith Yahweh, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? So Yahweh's letting you know, you stop being wicked, he won't mention the things that you did that were wrong. Because Yahweh doesn't hold a grudge. So some things to put on your mind is, if Yahweh said that he'll forget what you've done, he won't mention them. I should say, he won't mention them. Then why would you mention them? And why would anyone else mention them if Yahweh won't mention them? But he did tell you to stop doing them. So realize the things that you have done. We've all done evil. What is this evil that we've done? Let me let you understand. Yahweh said, to keep his covenant. The Ten Commandments is a covenant. Every commandment is a term to that covenant. If you break one commandment, you broke the covenant. You might have not have committed murder, but you broke the covenant. You didn't honor your father and your mother, you broke the covenant. If you didn't keep the Sabbath day, you broke the covenant. If you took Yahweh's name in vain, you broke the covenant. If you didn't put Yahweh first, you broke the covenant. And Yahweh told you don't break his covenant. But we broke this covenant. Yahweh made a covenant with the Sabbath day. If you don't keep this day, you broke the Sabbath covenant. Yahweh told you he gave you everlasting covenant to show mercies of David. And you can have it. But if you don't listen to him, you broke this covenant. Yahweh told you a day begins in the morning and a night begins when it's dark. But if you go against that, you broke those covenants. Yahweh let us know that his word is our life. And if we don't uphold his word, we are not choosing life. There are many sins There are many faults, and there are many things that we have to answer for. But all we have to do is acknowledge them, even the ones we don't know we did, and just say, look, I don't know everything that I might have done wrong, but I don't want to be wrong. So let me do what Yahweh told me to do, what is right. Let me show you a couple more scriptures. Just some things to put on your mind. Isaiah, the first chapter. In Isaiah, the first chapter, start reading at the second verse, where it says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the donkey his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Isn't that, yeah, you have to understand, we are inconsiderate. We're very inconsiderate people. Not only do we not consider others, we don't consider Yahweh. He said an ox knows his owner, which means an ox who don't talk, who don't type on a computer, who don't drive a car, who don't make money the way you do, who don't communicate the way you do, he's an ox. You use him for burden things. A donkey. He don't know anything. But he knows his master's crib. But Israel, Yah's people, we don't even consider our owner, our master. And if we don't consider Yahweh, you know we're not considering one another. How in the world would you consider your brother, your sister, if you don't consider Yah? Who are we considering if we're not considering Yahweh? I'll show you in the book of Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. And this is a sin, to not consider the Most High. Because Yahweh said, acknowledge him in all your ways. But we don't even consider. And in Jeremiah, the fifth chapter, verse 26 says, for among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that sets snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and are grown rich. They have grown fat. They shine, yes. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith Yahweh? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful nation. And horrible thing is committed. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed. In the land, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof? Means what? The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule by their own means, not Yah's, and the people love it. They love to have it so. So they're not considering Yahweh, they're considering themselves and what they want, not what Yahweh requires. And Yahweh said that we are a people that do not consider. Ah, a sinful nation. is what he called us. And we have to acknowledge that we have not considered the Almighty. Not everybody is a murderous sinner, and not everybody is spot-free. You might fall between that. Nevertheless, you fall between that. We all do. There's nobody that's safe from being inconsiderate to the one who made us. We have two more scriptures before we close. In the book of Malachi, the second chapter, the 10th verse reads, "Have we all one Father? Has not one Elohim created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" So we don't consider the Creator. We have dealt treacherously against our own because we do not consider the covenant of Yahweh, which he told us to love our brother as ourselves, to love your neighbor as yourself. We're not considering the covenant of our fathers that Yahweh made. And if we considered this covenant, then we wouldn't deal treacherously with each other. We wouldn't be evil towards one another. Go to the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter. Just some things to lay on you so you, in your humility, in your affliction, consider what we have done so we know what we need to seek Yahweh for forgiveness for. In the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter, the 14th verse says, "And if a stranger sojourns with you, or whoever is among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto Yahweh as you do, so shall he do. One ordinance shall be both for you and of the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourns with you. An ordinance forever in your generations, as you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourns with you." Meaning what? You are not higher than the stranger, nor is the stranger lower than you, especially when they join unto Yah's covenant. So not only are you to love the stranger as yourself who has joined unto Yah's covenant, but you're to love your neighbor, you're to love your brother, all of them as yourself. The scripture said, if we all have one Father, we all have one Elohim that created us all, why are we going against this covenant and dealing treacherously against one another? This is not the way we are to be. And we have to consider that our inconsiderate behavior towards Yahweh has allowed us to be very inconsiderate towards one another. And that's not good at all. So the last scripture I'll go to, in the book of Amos, verse 18 will begin. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. To what end is it for you? Meaning, don't hope, don't wish that Yah's day comes. Because what end is it for you? For the day of Yahweh is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion, imagine you run from a lion with all his fangs and claws, and you actually ran from him and escaped. But as you escape from this lion, a bear meets you. Or you escape from this beast, and you go into your house, and you lean your hand on the wall, and a serpent bites you. Meaning what? There's no escape from Yah's wrath in the day of Yah. Shall not the day of Yahweh be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me a burnt offering and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. He said, listen, take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your voices, but let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. That's what Yahweh wants. He wants you to do judgment and justice. If you can't do judgment and justice, he don't want to see you celebrate at all. He don't want to see you sacrifice. He don't want to hear you sing. He don't want to see you dance if you're not going to do justice and judgment. And if you're going to do justice and judgment, then you need to trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Fear Elohim and depart from evil. And he said that he won't even mention your wickedness if you turn from it. So afflict your souls this night. Afflict your souls on this Sabbath and seek Yahweh so that he might show us the right and good way, which he's already let us know that he has covered us for this day of atonement. He has blotted out as a thick cloud our transgressions, and as a cloud our sins. Return unto Yahweh, for he has already redeemed us. So may Yahweh be with you. May Yahweh bless you. May Yahweh keep you. May Yahweh make his face shine upon you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance unto you and grant you peace, and that you may rise in the next day, in the day of atonement, and become cleansed from all our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. For Yahweh is righteous, Yahweh is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.